Right, fired up. Bingo. And he gave me this verse right here in Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7 and verse 37. Speaking about the children of Israel leaving Egypt and coming to the wilderness on the way to the promised land that they never seemed to be able to get to. This is what Moses, who told the Israelites, God will send you a prophet like me from among your people. He was in the assembly in the desert, that's Moses, with the angel that who spoke to him on Mount Sinai and with our fathers, and he received living words to pass on to you. The Torah is living words. The Bible code has confirmed that every person is in the Torah. If you pull one word out of the Torah, the whole creation falls right there. The Torah is the living word of God that Moses got. But our forefathers refused to obey God. You know, there's way too many of our Christian brethren who are refusing to obey God too. There's way too many Sabbath observant brethren who are refusing to obey God. You hear me? I know a lot of Sabbath keepers. They might be good on the fourth commandment, but that one online, they just can't handle that one. So people used to say, well, what's the test commandment? Oh, the Sabbath is a test commandment. I tell you what the test commandment is. The test commandment is the one you like to break. The test commandment is the one you like to break. Might not be the Sabbath for some boys. They like Saturday off. They might just like the lie. Or maybe they like the five-finger discount. You know, whatever the your favorite commandment to break is, that's your test commandment. I'm down here in verse 39, going into verse 40. Instead, they rejected the Lord and their hearts turned back to Egypt. Their hearts turned back to Egypt. We're not talking about other things. We're talking about the same thing we've talked about all day. We're supposed to leave Egypt with its Sunday worship and its solar festival in December and the fertility rites in the spring, and we're supposed to come into the promised land. What did God give in the promised land? He didn't give them all that stuff. He gave them the Passover. And He gave them unleavened bread. And He gave them Pentecost, where He gave the law and poured out the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. He gave them trumpets to show His return and atonement to show their need for mercy. And He gave them tabernacles to celebrate the coming kingdom of God. He didn't give them trifling stuff. He gave them the real deal. But they kept going back to Egypt. They kept going back to Egypt and what was familiar. We always talk about the golden calf. Let me tell you a little distinguishing feature of the golden calf. The golden calf has one big, huge sun disc between its horns. The golden calf was what they used to worship the sun. We got to leave Egypt. We got to leave Egypt behind and go on into the promised land. They told Aaron, make us gods who will go up before us. As for this fellow Moses who led us out of Egypt. We don't know what happened to Moses. Moses is up there having a God encounter face to face with Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. And they're like, oh, well, he didn't come back. Are you willing to take a face-to-face encounter with Yahweh? Are you willing? You see, the people couldn't see God. And it wasn't God's choice they couldn't see Him. It was theirs for turning away. And we're going there. So I'm not going to stop. They made the choice not to see God. God made provision to see them. They turned away from Him. Just like Adam and Eve in the garden. Just like every one of us when we sin. That's why sin's so damaging. The damage of sin is that you walk away from God. That's too much of God. I don't want Him. We ain't going to get immortal bodies from having too little of God. I mean, if we keep having little, we never going to get there. We need the God encounter to take us into the promised land, to enter into His rest. That was the time they made an idol in the form of a calf, and they brought sacrifices to it and held a celebration in honor of what their hands had made. But God turned away from them because of that. That was the last straw. They refused the God encounter, and they made the golden calf instead. Too many people in church refuse the God encounter, refuse the fire to fall, refuse the holy fire of God in the meeting, and they turn back to the golden calf, and God just turns away from them. It's all wiped out. Man, this day is so profound. And gave them over to the worship of the heavenly bodies. This agrees with what is written in the book of the prophets. Did you bring me sacrifices and offerings 40 years in the wilderness? Did you bring me sacrifices and offerings 40 years in the wilderness? O house of Israel, you have lifted up the shrine of Molech and the star of your god Raphan, the idols you made to worship. Therefore I will send you into exile. Look, man, we're living in a time of the end. If you're going to lift up the star of your God, Raphan, you're going in tribulation. If you're going to turn back to Molech, if you're going to go back to Egypt, if God's going to turn away from you because you don't want Him, you're going in tribulation. You're going into exile. There's no getting around this. There's not time for you to turn later if you even get that option. This is the verse that brought this together. Some of us have entered into His rest. Some of us have taken that chance. But too many people want to turn back to paganism. Too many people want to go back to where they came. Too many people got comfortable in Egypt. And they want to go back. When God is calling you to go forward. But it's uncomfortable because it's the unknown. And we can't see. And is God really going to honor me if I obey all those commandments? I'm happy with the way it used to be. You were in slavery in Egypt. You were in hard bondage. They made you to serve with rigor. And in the promised land is freedom and mercy and grace and the rest of relying on Jesus. Sacrifices and offerings 40 years in the desert. Are you bringing Him sacrifices and offerings? Is it all about Him? Do you come in the house of God and offer Him your heart? It's not about the money we take up. It's about the quality of your life. It says offer your life as a living sacrifice. In the desert, on the way to the promised land, are you offering Him your heart, your love, your adoration? Is He first in your life or last? Ooh. Ooh. You see, they didn't offer Him sacrifice and offerings in the wilderness. They lifted up the star of their God, Raphan. And He's calling to you today. If you hear His voice, you've got to enter His Shabbat rest. And you've got to offer Him the sacrifice of your heart and your love and your adoration. Nothing else is going to get it. You can come in and play church. Playing church ain't going to get you anywhere. You can go somewhere and be happy with the way they do it over there. That's fine. But if you don't come in on His time, at His holy days, on His Moed, you know, Moed means the appointed time. You've got a standing appointment with God today. Now, I don't know about you. I heard a man talk about going to visit a president of a country one time. He said, well, I've got to put a jacket on. I'm going to see the president of whatever this country this was. It's important to see a high dignitary in it. How many of you have ever been to the White House? You don't just get to walk in the Oval Office when you feel like it, amen? They got Secret Service everywhere, right? You have to have an appointment to go see the president. God's ruler of the universe. And He's willing to stop what He's doing today. He's pretty busy. He's got a lot of things going on. Trust me. He stopped what He's doing today to make this appointment with you. The sovereign of the universe made an appointment to see you. Did you see Him today? Did you come in here to keep your appointment with Him? Or did you just show up? Now, I'm not saying this to be ugly. These are things every one of us has to face every time we come in here. I got to face them. Coming down here. Am I coming for the right reason? Coming down here. I'm tired. I need to be in bed sleeping. But am I willing to put all that aside to take my appointment with God? That's what it's all about. You see, we're supposed to bring Him sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness. Maybe we want to stay 40 years. If we quit lifting up all that other jive and get out of Egypt and get on with the promise, and we want to do all that. Ezekiel 20. Will God have to plead with you in the desert to get you to serve Him and love Him and adore Him? Y'all didn't hear that. Will God have to plead with you in the desert to get you to obey Him and love Him and serve Him? You know, there's a pleading coming. That's why the name of this sermon is Plead in the Desert. There's a pleading coming in the desert. Will you have to be pled with to get you to do right? There's a pleading coming. And God says, when I'm done pleading with them, they will do what I tell them. Will you have to go through that? Or are you going to voluntarily give Him your love and adoration? Exodus 20, verse 33.
Exodus. Exodus.
I'm sorry. You're right. Ezekiel. Ezekiel, if I said it, hey, look, I didn't get to sleep the last two nights. I'm really tired. Ezekiel 20, you were right. How did I miss that one verse? Oh, okay. I'm good. I'm good. Ezekiel 20. You know, some pastors get to memorize these things. I never even get to look at them three times. Verse 33. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Yahweh, I will rule over you with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm and outpoured wrath. Is that what it's going to take? Is He going to have to rule over you that way? Are you willing to voluntarily come under His rule? Because I tell you what, if it takes this, this is coming. I will bring you from the nations and gather you from the countries where you've been scattered with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm and without poured wrath. And I will bring you into the desert of the nations, and there face to face I will execute judgment. Look, in the old King James it says, I will plead with you face to face in the desert. I will plead with you face to face in the desert. Is God going to have to plead with you face to face in the desert to get you to obey? Is God going to have to plead with you face to face in the desert to get you to enter the promised land? Or can you do it because you love Him? You see, the people who are stiff-necked and rebellious are going to have to do it anyway. The difference is who loves Him. If you want to be a treasured possession, you've got to do it because you love Him. Because if He does it to you because He's ruling over you, you're not a treasured possession. You just got in. Do you want the blessing? Do you want the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Because you're not going to get that if He has a plea with you in the desert. We're coming up on the return of the Lord to rescue His saints. What's it going to take to you? Now, this word in the Hebrew for wilderness, this word in the Hebrew for desert, means a place to drive cattle. Or is He going to have to drive you like a herd of wild beasts to get you to obey Him? What about the tenderness of heart? What about the love connection that we speak of all the time? Don't you just want to be in His presence enough to love Him and do what He says? Don't we just love Him enough to want to live the way He tells us to live? What does it take to get us to surrender to His will? You know, we were setting up and I mentioned to the hotel owner, Mr. Patel, about yoga. We were talking about exercise and how we get weaker as we get older and stuff. And I said, well, you know, you guys from India, you've been practicing yoga a long time and I'll keep you trim and in good shape. All mind control. And he talked about how the Indians have taught for years that if you can control your mind, you can do anything. I want you to think about that. If mind control has that much power among the human race, how much power does surrendering your will have? How much power does surrendering your mind to the mind of Christ have? If mind control imposed by you can accomplish almost anything, how much could you obtain in the kingdom of God? How much power in the Holy Spirit if you could surrender it to Jesus as an offering to God, holy and acceptable in His sight? Well, yeah, that's something to think about. That's a word right there. What does God have to do to mash your buttons? Do you have to let your body rot in the wilderness? Do you have to be ground under the tribulation and threshed off your hard heart to get you soft towards Him? You know, the barley harvest, the wind can winnow and blow out the chaff. That means the Holy Spirit can blow the chaff out of your life. That's where I want to be. I want to be soft and subtle to the Lord. I want the Holy Spirit to blow through me and blow the chaff out so I don't have to go under the tribulation. I don't like pain. I have a real low threshold for pain. At least don't even need. She got a wisdom tooth pulled one time, took 2 Tylenol, got mad at me because she said she didn't need to take the 2 Tylenol. I said, just take them, please. It's going to hurt. Trust me, just take them. Took them. He's like, I don't even need these. I don't know why you made me take them old Tylenol. Man, I hurt. When I hurt, I'm feeling bad. I mean, forget the Tylenol. I'm taking 4 ibuprofen and a throw every 4 hours, Jack, backing it up with Tylenol in between. You know what I'm saying? I feel pain. You know, she don't feel no pain. We need to be soft before the Lord. So that He doesn't have to whoop us half to death before we finally catch on to what He wants done. We've got to surrender and enter into His rest. And the Shabbat is the sign to get in the kingdom. A sign on your hand and a sign on your forehead. Now, the Antichrist can't put that on you if you've already got the mark of God on you. Hey, he can't mark over what God's already put. You make the choice what mark you take. The beast is just going to kill you if you don't have his mark. But you make the choice which way you're going to go. You've got to put the mark of God on you by living it. See, the devil's going to brand it on you, but God wants you to voluntarily come into freedom. You've got to be free. He can't even work without free will because it requires your free will to come to Him. That's why tyranny and slavery and all these things are so bad. It doesn't allow people the free will to come to God. He doesn't want you forced into Him. He doesn't want you coerced into Him. He wants you... That's why He says men are saved by the foolishness of preaching. Men are saved by the foolishness of preaching. And I'm like, well, that is kind of foolish. And I do feel foolish when I'm doing it. But that's how people get saved. Because He wants you of your own free will to do it. He doesn't want me up here laying down law. Thou shalt do what I tell you, and I'm going to make you do this, this, and this. Look, the Jews have a good heart for God. They built these fences around the law because they've been through the hand of God when they break it. I don't begrudge them a bit of that. But I'm not going to put all these on you. Just read it and do it. Read it and do it. We'll get you saved through the foolishness of preaching. So that I don't have to worry about imposing my law on top of God's law. You don't want my law. You really don't want my law. I'm not half as smart as it would take to keep you away from all this. You just want to be subject to His law because that guarantees your freedoms and it brings you into promised land and it brings the blessings and it brings the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. When you enter His rest on Shabbat, you are showing Him that you are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. You didn't get that. When you come to Him on Shabbat, you are showing that I have left off my allegiance to the world and that I am swearing allegiance to my God by entering into His kingdom for that 24-hour period of time. The Shabbat is not just an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. It's a piece of time every seventh day. It's a window into the kingdom of God. It's a door to get into the kingdom of God. You get to experience a little piece of it every Sabbath day. And you're showing by your actions that God's law rules over me, not man's law. And I am fully allegiance to my Lord God because I'm going to obey Him on this. And the world's going to test you. The world is going to test you because it doesn't want you leaving their allegiance. It doesn't want you leaving the kingdoms of this world and joining the kingdom of God. They don't like losing people. What does Reinhard Bonnke say? We're plundering hell to fill heaven. Okay, it starts on Shabbat. It starts on Shabbat. You got to get them out of the kingdom of the world and put them in the kingdom of God. And Shabbat is the sign of allegiance that we're making that progress. We're making that jump. I always wonder why we still have to be told. Why do we still have to be told? Jesus said on Passover night, I have overcome the world. He's overcome the world and its governments. I think Psalm number 2 is why do the kingdoms something and the nations rage against the Son, the anointed of... It says kiss the Son. That's allegiance. That's total allegiance. He's Lord of the Sabbath. He made that choice. That was His words. I am Adonai Shabbat. And if you're going to leave the kingdom of the world and join His kingdom, that's where you start. You kiss the Son and enter in through the Sabbath day. Huh? Which one? Matthew 12. I'm not going there, but Matthew 12. He's Lord of the Sabbath. He's Lord of the Sabbath. He could have said, I'm Lord of Sunday. I'm Lord of Tuesday. I'm Lord of Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. But He said, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. Hey, that's pretty strong words right there. If we yield to Him, from Friday night sunset to Saturday night sunset, we will get His presence. Now, I want to take you someplace in Exodus 19 and I want to show you how God offered His presence to the children of Israel and they refused Him. This is what led to the downfall. You see, God brought them to the promised land. He healed the bitter waters and He brought them a manna from heaven. He took care of all of these things. Poured the Holy Spirit out. He did all of these things. And then when He said, come up to Me, they ran. Don't run when you get this offer. When He offers to you to come into His presence, you take it. Exodus 19, verse 9. The Lord said to Moshe, I'm going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you. He backs up his leadership. He calls Moses to lead you out of the promised land. In the promised land, he's going to show everybody that Moses is the one I want to lead and just roll with him. If you got issues, I'll straighten him out later. Then Moses told the Lord what the people had said. And the Lord said to Moses, go to the people, consecrate them today and tomorrow, have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day, because on that day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Put limits around the mountain for the people and tell them, be careful that you do not go up to the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death, and he shall surely be stoned or shot through with arrows. Not a hand is to be laid on him, whether man or animal, shall not be permitted to live. Only... Oh, we like that word only, right? Here comes the operative part. Only when the ram's horn sounds a long blast may they go up to the mountain. Y'all didn't get that. Jesus is going to blow the shofar and we're going to rise to meet him in the air. And he's telling, oh, I'm feeling this. He's telling the people that when I blow the shofar, now you can come up to the mountain. He told them to be consecrated for the third day. Did you get that? When I blow the shofar, come up. He wanted all the people to come up into his presence. He wanted everybody to see Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Later on, 70 elders of Israel and 4 priests are going to eat, and Moses are going to eat with God. But he wanted all of them to come up and see him. You know, we read in Numbers that the people have seen the Creator God face to face, and that people around know about it. What report are you given? Have you gone up when the shofar sounded? Have you gone into His presence and seen Him face to face? Can you give that testimony? Can you give the testimony of, I've seen God, therefore I'm living by His laws and commandments. I know my God. I'm living by His laws and commandments. I'm keeping these Sabbath days so I can always have His law on my lips. I am doing these things because I know Him and I want Him and I want to be close and I want to be intimate and I always want to be in His presence forever. I can't wait to get to the promised land because of the things He's got for me. Because we're going to be close. I'm a treasure possession. Or is it just, well, we go to church. Chapter 20, verse 18. Perry Stone said that in the Jewish writings, when they heard the voice of God, they could see the sound waves roll out in fire. When He spoke the 10 words, they saw the sound waves emanate from the mountain in fire, and they were totally in fear of their lives. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the shofar and saw the mountain and smoke, they trembled with fear. He does want to be obeyed. He does want to be obeyed. Believe me, if you saw that, you wouldn't be worried about your job. Job, hey, no, I'll give another job. I'm keeping what he told me to do. So, yeah, give me another job. I ain't worried about that, man. He's going to do it. They stayed at a distance. God did not call you to stay at a distance. How intimate does He got to be? He said, I put my Spirit in you. How intimate with you does He have to be, except He's in your very body? I don't know how much more intimate you get than that. He doesn't want to be at a distance. He came down with Adam and Eve and walked in the garden and said, where are you? He doesn't want to be held off at a distance like a statue on a pedestal. He wants to be in you and near you and with you. He wants fellowship and communion and relationship. And they said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die. And they turned away from God. This happened before they made the golden calf. They refused the God encounter. That's why they went back to what was familiar from their paganized past. Because they couldn't go in to see their God. They couldn't take that much of Him. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. The good report. I've seen Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. He's the coolest man. I've been with God face to face. He's the bomb. There ain't nobody in your life you're going to meet like Him. He's the best there'll ever be. Ain't nobody you want to hang with except Him. Don't be afraid. He's just testing you to make sure you obey Him. He's just testing you to make sure you obey Him. He's testing you to make sure you don't lie. and you don't take what doesn't belong to you, and that you keep a Sabbath day, and that you honor your parents. He's just testing you to make sure that you'll do what He tells you. He's not trying to run you off. He's just trying to make sure you understand the seriousness of what He's doing. And the people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. They refused Him. They refused Him. He wanted all Israel to come up on the mountain and have the fellowship. Oh, Shemaka, Sundanamaka. Do you see what I'm saying to you? Adam and Eve walk with God and talk with God in the garden. They beheld His image. They held His hands. They had sweet fellowship together. And after all this time, the God of all heaven was restoring the people back to God. If they had followed what He said, they would have gotten to see their God, touch their God, talk to their God, look in His eyes and see His love. These people had the chance of all time to be restored before the fall through the law of God. It didn't come before the law. It came after. Because the law is what puts you back in your Creator. Oh, come on. You've got to see this. The Chinese have a symbol for paradise, and it's man in a garden with God. It's one of the oldest Chinese symbols in their writing. These people were going to be restored back to that. To touch their God, to walk their God, to look Him in the eyes, to know Him. And they turned away. To whom He has, more will be given. To him He has not, I'll take away even what He has. When they walked away from God, they turned themselves over to idolatry. Man, I'm telling you, there's nothing more important than being able to have that sweet fellowship with your Creator. To be able to look into those beautiful eyes. To be able to touch those scarred hands. To be able to know Him on that level. There's nothing like that. You wonder what drives me when I'm dog tired and really want to go home? It's because I've seen Him. I've put my finger in the hole of His hands. I know what it feels like in the healed over holes of those hands. How do you not serve Him after that? How, after you've been restored to your God on that level, do you not do what He says? Everywhere I go, no matter what I'm doing, I hear Him say it over and over again, I'm right here with you, son. I'm right here with you. It's okay. Oh, God, I'm feeling terrible. I got sick like everybody else this morning. Oh, God, I feel terrible. It's okay, son. I'm right here. I told you I would never leave you or forsake you. It's one thing to read it in this book. It's another thing to hear it in your ears. And to know that no matter what I've been through, no matter what I've gone through, no matter how many attacks or tests of the devil, He's always been right there. I told many of y'all how this little effort fell on its face in the first couple of weeks and I was going to give it up. You heard me talk about little buddy praying for you. He prays for you, man. You've been praying for him. And I was standing at the end of the pew and I wasn't even going to give the message. I was just going to go up there and quit. We had no money. We spent the rent. Nobody was coming, just Sandy and us. We started and I thought we were going to finish it. All our friends who told us they wanted Spirit-filled, Torah observant church, they wouldn't come. And I'm standing there as the last song closes up and I'm trying to phrase this right because I didn't want Sandy to run off and leave. That's the only other member we had. I mean, you know, kids wouldn't go anywhere. Where are they going to go? And as I'm standing there with my head down like this, just how am I going to word this? I felt an arm around my shoulder. I could feel it. I still have the fingertips right here. And I looked over and I caught a half a second glimpse. I thought it was an angel. It was 3 days later I remembered there was a crown of thorns on his head. Angels don't wear those. Look, man, there's nothing like knowing Him. And for those of you that need the yoke broke, that want to know your God, that really want the help you need to get that love opened up, you just come on up and we're going to pray for you right now. Stand up if you want to love God in a new way you've never loved Him before.